Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by everyone, Laura. Sorry, I don't know why I called you Lauren. That's weird. Laura, Kristen, I think that's why I was combining your names. Karen and Franny. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
You can tell it's very late. We're kind of silly right now. So let's just start off with, it was a two-hour episode. It was gigantic. I'm not sure it really needed to be 2 hours to get across their point, but that's a whole nother discussion. So let's start with the thumbs up, thumbs down. Brittany, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on that?
I'm going to go thumbs up. I've been thumbs sideways for a couple weeks now, but I think this deserves a thumbs up. It got everything answered. We can finally move on. It set up the rest of the Frozen story arc. So I'm good. Thumbs up.
All right. How about you, Karen?
Yeah, definitely thumbs up. Thought it was good. I liked that it was 2 hours just because we got so much more. It's nice to finally have answers, and I like that we focused on Emma so much. I'm really interested in where she is right now in the story and sort of like her mindset and her arc and everything. So, yeah, definitely enjoyed it.
Okay, and Kristen?
It's definitely a thumbs up for me just for the hook angstiness of this episode that I just love it. I eat it up with a spoon. So it's definitely a thumbs up for me.
Okay. And Laura, I'm not even going to ask you because I know what you're going to say. I know how high your thumbs up are going to be.
Yeah, I'm obviously right. Yes. Did something happen besides Robin and Regina? Yeah. I really liked it though. I did. Aside from the Robin and Regina stuff, which I will attempt to be less ridiculous about so as not to irritate everyone. I really liked it, especially like the Frozen arc. I think this was the sort of Frozen arc that I liked the best all season. I also really liked the whole like Emma story, how she connected with Elsa and big thumbs up for me. I agree with you. It was a little long, but I really did like this episode very much.
Okay. And so I'm going to give it a thumbs up because there was some really cool stuff that did happen in this episode. And a lot of things finally came to light, which I appreciated. But I felt like some parts were just a little bit long, but that could just be me. All right. Let's go to favorite quotes. And go ahead, Laura, lead with yours. What do you have?
Oh, I love this one. So it's down in the tomb, and Regina goes, "This can never happen again." And then Robin says, "I agree. But if we don't leave this room, then I think this still counts as the first time, don't you?" So, yeah.
He was a saucy little thing this episode,
He is the best freaking kisser ever. Oh, my God. I could watch that all day long. So, there we go. Trying not to be irritating, but yeah.
I can't even follow up with that. Go ahead, Brittany. Why don't you follow up with that?
All right. I'm going to go with Regina with a little bit more clothes on. When she is talking to Snow and David, and I don't know why I mixed their names together like that, but sure, Snow and David. So they agree that Emma should give up her powers, and Regina says, "This may be the worst idea you've ever had, and you hired the Wicked Witch as nanny."
I loved that line. That was so classic.
I laughed out loud at that line. I don't often laugh out loud. I laughed out loud at that line. That was great.
All right, Karen, what did you get?
Mine was by far the line from Snow when she was talking to Regina and she said, "You're not all evil and I'm not all good. Things are not that simple." And I think in a show like this, sometimes it can be hard to remember that, especially with Snow White, because we always think of her as the perfect person who's made all the right choices and is, you know, as pure white as Snow is. And she's not. We know that her heart has a little bit of darkness in it. And I also really like remembering that Regina has done some really amazing things, especially recently, and is really, really trying harder to become a better person. And it's nice, or it's easy to pit them against each other. And it's nice when the show doesn't do that, when they can actually come together and be like, look, you know, it's not black and white. There are a lot of gray areas. And yeah, we might not be best friends, but we actually do have a lot of things in common.
Okay, Kristen, did you have a favorite quote?
Yes, I did. And rather than recite to you all of Hook's phone call, which I died, I loved it. I just about cried. It was, oh my God. Rather than that, I'll go with one he said earlier in the episode when he was talking about them not being able to find Emma. And he said, perhaps she doesn't want to be found since, you know, that's what she bloody told us. I loved that little bit. It was just great. I love it.
Yeah, those are pretty entertaining, actually. Mine was a Hook quote, and it was when they were kind of all going around and saying, you know, Emma didn't want anyone to really be with them. He's like, wonderful. Should we send Sneezy after her or Happy? Which is the dwarf she despises? I thought that was super fun. I was just like, ooh, that's a little snarktastic right there. I like it. All right.
Well, I'm like, who doesn't like Happy? Like, were we really confused about that?
That, I think, was the part that cracked me up most, was that that was the one. Because later on, they mentioned that, you know, because they're looking at the picture and they're like, oh, Happy was there. I wonder why. Like, Emma really, like, they, like, affirm that Emma really doesn't like Happy. So I think that's hysterical.
And everyone loves Grumpy, which is just funny.
Yeah, it's, again, that kind of two-sided coin there. That's very odd. All right, so I think the easiest way to kind of do the discussion is to chat about each of the characters' story arcs, because there's so much going on in this episode, and I really didn't know how to break it down any other way. So,
sounds good.
We're going to start with Ingrid, because she is the ultimate troublemaker, and she kind of basically starts the show with visiting the sorcerer or the sorcerer's apprentice. So we kind of see her, and she's chatting with him, and she wants to make a deal with the sorcerer, much like one would try to make a deal with Rumple. And the apprentice is like, the sorcerer doesn't make deals. And they kind of have this whole conversation. Do you guys feel like this apprentice, per se, may be the actual sorcerer?
Yes. Yep. I totally had that thought.
Yeah.
Because he's getting more shady as time goes on. And he was a little too excited to see the box later on. So I don't know, but so it's kind of interesting the way she approached him, like she was going to approach Rumple to get something. Then we see her back in Storybrooke, and she's confronting Emma, and she wants Emma to embrace her power. Now, we later on find out what that whole big deal is about, but it's kind of weird coming from the Snow Queen that she wants Emma to embrace her power. Don't you think? Like, her whole, like, obsession with Emma is just odd.
Yeah, it's, I keep feeling like, she's clearly not her sister reincarnated, or, like, it's this whole, like, I'm not sure if it's delusion or what it is exactly, but, I mean, she's obviously not her long-lost sister. I just don't understand, like I said, what this level of delusion is all about, really.
Yeah, and I think that this week, though, finally got to the point that Ingrid's trying to make, is that her life kind of failed with two ordinary sisters, so she needs to find two extraordinary sisters to match her in power, and that's how she's going to be able to build her happy family, because she can't live with ordinary people, because ultimately they're all going to fear her. But if she's equally matched with two other people who do have magical powers,
right,
it's just a matter of finding them. And she knows about Elsa, and it was a matter of getting Emma.
Right. And then she wants to watch everybody else, like, destroy each other, which,
yeah,
with their own
I'm
worst thoughts,
little,
which I'm like, how does that work exactly? Like, I wasn't clear. Like, does she feed off that energy of negativity? Or, like, I wasn't really clear as to what the point of that was.
I think it's just to get everyone to, like, to get Emma and Elsa out. Like, they don't want any connection to that type of life.
And nobody else, I was not happy, so I'm going to make everybody as miserable as I was.
Exactly.
Like,
and then she's going to have the two people who can only relate to her come with her.
Plus, she wanted Storybrooke all to herself. She told Rumple, you can do whatever you want with the rest of the world, the entire world, but Storybrooke is mine. And I think she just wants to live there with Emma and Elsa and kind of be in their own little bubble of, oh yeah, we have magic powers, no one's around to fear us anymore, which I think is why she sort of did that to Emma, where she was purposely isolating Emma so that Emma could see that people do fear her and that maybe, hopefully, she would be going back to Ingrid and being like, you were right this whole time. Of course I want to be with you, but, you know, Ingrid's a little crazy. I don't think she realizes that's not exactly how it works.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all just so odd. I don't get the nastiness part. Maybe she's trying to, by using the spell of shattered glass or shattered sight, she's planning on making everyone like hate each other, and therefore Emma and Elsa will recognize how horrible they are, kind of like she did with Anna. Is that more the point, you think?
Yeah, but what I'm mostly confused about is, like, you could see Elsa knew that Anna, like, something was up with Anna. Like, I think that they would know.
But if they're all equally afflicted, then it's not going to be so easy for them each to know that the other is, you know, like, if the town, if she's cast the spell over the entire town, everyone's just going to be really awful.
Including Emma and Elsa?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know if, like, if you have magic, if you're immune, because if so, then Regina and Rumple would be immune, but...
Yeah,
because
I was just thinking, like, wouldn't... If if Elsa and Emma are, like, separated, let's say, from this cloud that's coming towards the town, wouldn't they see everyone acting in such a strange way and, like, pick up on that is what I'm confused about, unless she's going to, like, do something to be... I mean, I'm sure Ingrid has some trick up her sleeve, or that just wasn't hashed out enough.
Yeah, it doesn't, I don't know. I don't think we know enough about what the plan is for them. So I guess we'll see that next week as it continues to, or in 2 weeks when it continues to unfold. So back in, I'm trying to think, where were they? Oh, back in Arendelle. We see Elsa's very excited that Anna's home. She's made her this whole dinner. And then Ingrid kind of tries to mess it all up multiple times. And yet Elsa's always too smart for her. Elsa always knows who her sister is. And I think part of that is the difference between what Ingrid had with her sisters. Because Elsa always is confident in who Anna is and what Anna's decisions would be. And knows when Ingrid's lying to her about Anna. So right. Do you guys kind of feel that, I don't know, I just think it's a very different sisterly relationship than what Ingrid had with her two sisters.
Yeah, I would totally support that. And I don't even, not even knowing the Frozen storyline, I felt like to me that that was absolutely crystal clear that it was without question a very different base of the relationship. And you even see it like in that first scene you see with Ingrid and her sisters when they're, what are they, like 10 years old and younger, in that one like glimpse that we get. Like, I just felt like Ingrid was very bossy and obnoxious. Like, I didn't feel like loving sisterly bond there on that first episode, on that first scene. So yeah, I totally agree with you that it's a different relationship.
I feel kind of differently about that, actually, because I think that opening scene showed that they were still kids, they were still immature, and I think once Ingrid came into her powers, she definitely took a step back, and I can't remember which name goes with which sister, but the middle sister, I felt, was very much like... that Ingrid, that she and Ingrid had the same sort of relationship that Anna and Elsa have, and yet the younger sister was the one that was full of fear. And I think if Ingrid had accidentally killed the younger sister, the middle sister wouldn't have trapped her in the urn. I feel like they had a much stronger connection, and that the middle sister was much more confident in Ingrid and her powers not being evil, just, you know, she had trouble controlling them. So yeah, I think it was actually Anna and Elsa's mom that sort of messed up a lot of this relationship stuff and made Ingrid into the person that she became.
And why she keeps pushing Anna. Like, I definitely see your point, Karen, why she's like, no, Anna is gonna crack just like Gerda did. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I could definitely see that connection. I think maybe because there was three of them, it was easier to segment them than with just the two.
Yeah, there was a different dynamic there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and considering technically Anna didn't know anything about Elsa, if we go with the Frozen storyline, until it was so far gone. Do you know what I mean? And so she's the one that has to bring her sister back. So it builds a different relationship than what the girls had, I think, too. Like, just the whole, like, journey that Anna and Elsa go on is different.
Right, yeah. Like, the events that happened in Frozen, like, in the movie, strengthened their bond more than anything. And I don't think Ingrid and her sisters ever went through anything like that. So I don't think they really had as trying of a time or anything that really, like, really challenged them to trust each other. Whereas Elsa and Anna were forced to and now have that trust.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. All right, so after the events of Ingrid trying to get Elsa to believe that Anna's going to go against her, Anna and Elsa go searching for the urn up in the east wing or the west, the east wing, right?
Yeah, the east wing. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, in Beauty and the Beast, doesn't he tell her to stay away from the east wing?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I was like,
no, it's the west wing.
Is it the west wing?
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm like, the west wing feels like the TV show. That's why I don't want to say
well,
it.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It's weird to me. Like, anyway, we'll look it up later. Someone will tell me who's right and who's wrong. But anyway, I just thought that was funny. And so they go searching for the urn, and we see Kristoff with them, and they're in there basically in her mother's room, which is where they're never supposed to be. Now, there were three beds in that room. They still don't know that they had a third aunt, do they? Or that there were three sisters and not just the two.
No, Anna does. She found out from the rock trolls.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I swear.
I'm like, wait,
one
did I miss
does.
Something? Okay, because I thought it was odd that there were three beds and nobody mentioned that. Oh, hey. And then, of course, okay, my favorite, I have to say, is they have the frozen Hans in the closet.
Yeah, I was like, why did she hold on to him? Hans.
I know, I was like, yeah, I was just like, what? Really? Yeah, that was, you know, that was a little strange. Yeah,
right next to the urn. We'll just put him in there. It's fine.
It's where we keep all of our things, our secrets. So I thought that was pretty funny. So from that point, Elsa and Anna find the urn and they have a plan. Anna's going to go back into the dungeon, if you will, and wait for Ingrid to show up, and she's going to trap her in the urn. Little do they know that Ingrid's already waiting for Anna in the prison cell. Were you guys surprised that she used the spell of Shattered Sight on Anna? Like, right then and there?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I liked it. I also was wondering, at first I was going, maybe it didn't work. Like, I was not entirely convinced that Anna was under it. I thought she was maybe playing along, but in the end I thought, oh, no, she clearly was under the spell.
Okay, so from there, after the spell is cast, and I think it's a cool look at the spell for us if we're going to be getting it for a whole entire town, because basically it just made Anna say very truthful things. It wasn't dangerous in a really big way. It was just going to help kind of compel her to use the urn or to be angry. And Ingrid's plan was that Anna would say all these horrible things, and that Elsa would do something horrible by freezing her, kind of
right.
as retribution.
But she would just buy it, yeah.
Right, which, again, she didn't buy it, and she said, put me in the urn if you have to, I don't care. And Anna did because of the spell. Now, the second that Anna did that, the spell was lifted. Is it really that easy? You have to do something and then it's gone?
I was wondering if it just that Ingrid didn't have enough magic that it lasted very long. And once she was quite literally out of sight, out of mind, it broke at that point. I wasn't sure. I also wanted to say maybe she was playing along. I'm still kind of confused on that.
Yeah, because I was thinking when she goes later in the episode, we see that she says to Rumple, she's like, well, now I have the power of all three of us. That makes it a little more like she's able to cast it upon more people. So I like where you went with saying that maybe it just didn't last that long, because in like the original story, they have to go to the Snow Queen to get the like shards removed. It's like someone's tears get rid of it. But that obviously didn't happen to Anna.
Yeah, it's all kind of strange.
Yeah. I will say, the imagery on that, too. Like, did anybody else get kind of freaked out on the imagery on that? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was cool.
Watching the little bits of glass, like, oh, that got me, too. Yeah. I cringed, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of intense. So from there, now that Anna has her trapped in the urn, Ingrid has a hissy fit. Kristoff comes in with his ice pick. I'm not really sure what he's going to do with that against magic, but hey, he tried. It was courageous, I guess. And Ingrid decides she just freezes basically the whole of Arendelle. So we now know where Anna and Kristoff are. They're popsicles in the middle of their dining room. And then we have Ingrid, who is clutching the urn for dear life and using troll magic to remove Elsa's memories, which is kind of interesting. So she's clearly trying to sway Elsa to her, you know, to her thinking. Why do you guys think she didn't let Elsa out of the urn right away?
Well, I think it's because she still needs the third piece. So yeah. If the longer she keeps her in there, the less explaining that could, like, happen.
Okay. And it's a good thing, because by then it could have been a very challenging, because it was, like, kind of a while before Emma came along.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting to watch her do all of those different things. So we'll talk about kind of the ending, all the last bits of the ending together at the very end, so we don't get too confused and get ahead of ourselves. So much going on. The last thing happens is that the last thing for this like segment of it is Rumpel went to visit her and he basically took the urn. So now we know why Rumpel ended up with the urn. He took it because he wanted her to give him the hat and she wouldn't. So that's pretty interesting. The one thing back in our like in storybook time that we didn't discuss yet is when Gold goes to visit Ingrid and he basically pulls a double cross on her. Did you guys expect anything less from Mr. Gold?
No. And I loved every scene that had Gold pitted against someone. Anytime that he was talking with someone, I was so into it. Like when he's talking to Emma later on and this scene, it just felt like such a like match of power without CGI magic. And it was so refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it was kind of weird, too, because I was conflicted. I was like, yes, Rumpel, and I still hate you with every fiber of my being. Like, I was very conflicted. I was sort of cheering for him and at the same time going, oh, my God, you know, yeah, knowing like, what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, you're rooting for him. And then he gets to that last line where he says, the only two people I have to betray are you and Emma Swan. And I was like, oh, why?
Right.
Yeah, I really loved the stuff with him and Ingrid in this episode. Like, them especially for me was really, really fun because we've been kind of trained to hate the Snow Queen. And with all of the crazy that Rumpel's been pulling, like, I had trouble just believing that what he was doing was what I should want to happen. Like, in those scenes, I had trouble picking a side. And I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know. He was spectacular in this episode.
Yeah. And it's fun to see him equally matched and
taken
aback every time she advances.
Yeah. The one that really got me was where he said, like, he's just talking about his motivation in his life. And he goes, and Belle loves me. And I love her because she loves that part of me that she thinks can be good. And like, he basically says, you know, I love her for the fact that she's delusional and I can't be fixed is essentially what he's saying. And
I know.
Oh, I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I'm like, are you lying? Are you like, I just think Belle would be horrified if she heard what he was saying and saw any of that. She would just be absolutely horrified.
And I never, like, thought that it would come to a point where I would want Neil to rise from the dead, but it's right now, and I want him to hurt Rumpel.
Right! Seriously! I'm like,
why did you even bother going to his graveside and, like, right. saying all this beautiful stuff? And here we are.
Well, and the whole conversation, like, to me, I just can't, I'm having trouble believing that he is going to be that evil, if for no other reason that, quote that somebody had before of their favorite quote about you're not all good and I'm not all evil. I mean, they're certainly trying, doing their best, I feel like, to portray Rumpel this year as completely manipulative, completely evilly motivated. If he's good, it's just coincidental byproduct that just so happens to work out favorably. Like, I'm really curious where they're going with him, because I'm really desperately having trouble trying to find out what is genuinely good in Rumpel right now. I don't know. I always hold out hope, but I don't know. Like, this episode kind of sealed the deal for me that there isn't really hope for Rumpel, primarily because he doesn't want there to be.
Right. Right. That's a great statement. You know?
I mean,
absolutely.
That's really what it is. He doesn't want it. He's never wanted it because magic always wins.
Yes. And Regina has won it. You're right. I think that's absolutely, right. I think that's really profound. Yeah. Regina absolutely has wanted to change, has wanted it to be different. And you're right. I don't think Rumpel has. That's a great statement.
Yeah. So we'll get to more Rumpel action later, because he does some pretty horrible things later that I am not happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right there with you.
I'm like, I know this is a group effort on that one, so we'll get to that. Yeah. I'm gonna save that along with that Robin Hood Regina stuff so Laura doesn't lose it. Focusing on Emma now. Focusing on Emma.
I was good. I didn't.
You've been
good.
We haven't gotten to your actual topic yet. That's why you're holding it in.
But,
I can tell.
But I've been good.
All right. So we have Emma, and she starts off this episode a hot mess and a half because she's so kind of distorted in her thinking about what everyone else thinks of her, and she thinks of herself as a monster, and therefore is projecting that onto others. There's my psychological analysis of that for the evening. But she sees Henry, and Henry's just trying to help her, and she releases a burst of magic and sends Henry flying and hurts him, and that's really hard for her. So Henry gets sent back home, and eventually, you know, the group talks. I love it when the group gets together and you have David and Snow, and now you have Elsa, and then you had a little Hook action, and they're so different in their opinion about what should be right for Emma. And it always entertains me when the group is together trying to have a conversation about something. Do you guys find it entertaining? Because I'm just like, you know, Snow's always going to be like, oh, it's so great, it'll be okay. And then the others are a little bit more realistic, but it's just amusing.
Oh, I love the group scenes. They make me happy. Especially David and Hook being in the same room just makes me happy, because they usually have some sort of quip to throw at each other, and that it's great.
Exactly. All right, so from there, she makes the brilliant decision, heavy on the sarcasm there, to go and see Gold, and she wants Gold to get rid of her power. And conveniently, he says, oh, yes, I know exactly what to do with that. So, did you guys know at that point how badly this could have ended?
Yeah. I think I figured it out pretty quickly, and I knew that he was going to use the hat, and I knew that it was all a ruse. Because the thing is, Gold, even when he's being quote-unquote good, he still always asks for something in return. And this time he didn't, and he was just it was too easy. And I completely understand why Emma believed him, because she was so desperate, and she does believe that he has changed. I think everybody has. But we've seen the things that not everybody else has seen, so we know that he's still the manipulative person that he was before. And I was just, I don't blame Emma, because I know where she was coming from, but I'm really disappointed that it was, you know, she just kind of jumped into that. But I think that shows how desperate she was too.
Yeah, and she did play the Henry card when she went in there, so I think she might have, like, to her best knowledge of being completely out of her mind at that moment, using that card and having Gold say, yeah, there's a way, it's going to cause a huge destruction, and that's why we need to go to the edge of town, sort of thing. But in her mind, it was, this guy has the best interest of Henry, I have the best interest of Henry, so maybe it'll work out, but we know better.
Yeah, that's, but I mean, he didn't even consider Henry. When he decided what he would do with Emma, he didn't consider what it would do to Henry.
I know.
No.
He only thought of himself.
Yeah, and that's consistently true. Like, other people, even when they are self-centered, even Regina, when Regina was, like, really at her worst, despite everything she was doing, her one chink in her armor is that she absolutely legitimately did care about Henry. And I feel like that's the difference, you're right, with Gold, is that there is, even with Belle, sadly, it's coming from a, like, a self-centeredness, not, you know, not, like, out of, like, what she would truly love. Yeah, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I wanted so much more for Rumple, and I just don't think we're going to actually ever get it. I don't know. So then we see a series of kind of conversations about Emma. We see Emma call Snow, and Snow, in her very kind of chipper, positive way, is like, oh, that may be a good idea. Like, Snow has this really odd take on the whole idea of the magic and what they should do with it and what Emma should do with it. So there was kind of like that. And then we have Snow and Charming discussing Emma, which is a little bit different. And, you know, they both want to love her for who she is, but at the same time, there is a concern that the magic is too much. And then we see Henry having a conversation about Emma with Regina. And Henry's big thing was that he was concerned that he's not magical, he's not special, because he wanted to be able to help Emma.
That conversation between Henry and Regina, I think, is one of the most interesting conversations Henry's ever had. Like, just seeing him worrying about not being magical, and both of his mothers are, and, like, feeling like he doesn't belong, I think that's a really, really interesting idea for this show. Like, I would love to see more of Henry feeling like inferior and trying to find a place where he fits in this magical family. I was like, that is really, really interesting to me.
Yeah, and it was the perfect episode / point in the series, I think, to bring that up, because you have someone, one mother in peril, another mother whose magic isn't getting her anywhere, and yet Henry feels like he can't help either of them. So it's just a really good point to bring that storyline into play.
I love that it just gave him some depth, because he's always and they even said it, you know, you have the heart of the truest believer. So, but that doesn't mean he has to be constantly chipper and perky and too much so. Like, I felt like it added a level of depth to Henry that he was not entirely perfect. And I feel like, since he's definitely getting to be a teenager now, that there's a certain level of teenage angst that would be happening with him. And I'm really curious to see more of teenage Henry.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that it adds so much depth, because he's so wise for being so young, and he's so pure and so, I don't know, positive all the time, that you kind of forget that, you know, he's just a kid. And when he's insecure like that, it really opens up his arc to a lot more than just the person who pops in every once in a while with the, you know, you can do it, I believe in you kind of thing, and then disappears for the rest of the episode.
Right. Well, and the actor himself, too, I just looked him up on the IMDb, and he's 14 years old now, like, legit, in real life. Like, as of today, he's, like, 14 and a half years old. And I feel like, yeah, they're going to have to do some more, like, mature storylines with him. I mean, I don't mean getting naked or anything like that, but I feel like they're going to have to, you know, I'm not suggesting child porn, but I feel like they're going to have to do some more really legit, in-depth, more adult-ish kind of discussions with him, because he is getting older. It's not like he's 10 anymore. They're going to have to do more with him.
And at some point, he's going to lose that glassy-eyed, I believe in the best in everyone all the time. Like, when you're a teenager, you lose a bit of that. And I think that's going to be an interesting way for them to incorporate Henry into the story. Like, he might be the truest believer, but even he is human. Like, he's got to get into some of that. So yeah, that's...
yeah. See, there was a part of me that thought back to was it season two when Regina had like wanted to teach Henry magic and like do all of that cool stuff with him. So there was a part of me waiting for her to offer that again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was waiting for Regina to be like, well, I'll teach you magic. You know, you don't have to be that way. But she totally took a different tack. And I think that really surprised me in a lot of ways. So I guess we'll see what the future has in store for Henry. Okay, so moving on for Emma's storyline. Now we're going to get into the part that I don't like very much. So Hook is aware of what's going on and realizes that Emma has gone to Gold and that the probability of Gold using the hat on Emma is like ridiculously high. So he starts making a series of phone calls to Emma's cell phone. And I think, Kristen, you brought this up and said you would quote like every single one of them. They were pretty gut-wrenching and pretty like, I don't know. I was like, Emma, just answer your damn phone.
Right.
Or check your messages.
Check your messages.
He's leaving you voicemails. Like, what is wrong with you? It's not like she had to actually talk to him. Like, it wasn't like he just kept calling and would hang up. Like, she left him voicemails. I know she was avoiding them because she didn't want them to find her, but listen to your voicemail.
Clearly, we need to teach him how to send a text. That way it pops up on his screen.
Well, he was calling it the talking phone device, and David's like, it's just a phone.
What good is that name? Yeah, I love it. So while he had a little bit of funny, there was also some pretty serious. Because you can see the panic in Hook escalate each time he can't get a hold of Emma. And there was a part of me when he was in Gold's shop, there was a part of me that hoped for Belle to turn up and hear everything he said. Right. I really needed that.
I honestly thought that was going to happen. And I was like thinking to myself, finally, Belle might realize what a douche Rumple is being.
Oh my gosh.
And it didn't happen. And I was pretty disappointed.
Right. Well, I'm also like, I have to, because I'm not always the biggest Hook fan, but I really, really liked him very much this episode because I felt like he was like totally admitting he screwed up and totally saying, no, I was wrong. I did this. I caused this. He was like, no matter what happens here, he, as a generality, is all about covering his rear end, generally speaking. And I felt like this time he was like, consequences be damned. I need to stop Emma from making a huge mistake. And I really sort of appreciated, you know, him not looking to cover his rear end there immediately, you know, and that he wasn't going to try to make another deal with Rumple. Like he was all about what can I do to save Emma here?
Yeah. And I think the line in his like major apology voicemail was when he said, I don't even care if you decide not to trust me ever again. I just want to know that you're okay. Like he didn't even care that if she wanted nothing to do with him after the fact, he just wanted to know that she'd be all right.
Yeah, the whole better man for you speech, yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that really got me. It was the, I was trying to be a better man for you, which is completely true. The only reason he went to Gold is because of the hand and him trying to be perfect. And I thought, like, what a great character growth for him. Like, he really was trying to do right. Like, he wasn't trying to do terrible things. And it may have worked out again, you know, it may not have worked out for him per se, but it was really, really nice to see him like admitting what he did was wrong and telling her like, I'm really hope you get this. I really hope this, you know, this whole thing doesn't happen. Like I really, really loved all of that.
Right.
Yeah. It was just so much. All right.
You know,
one
last thing. I'm having a hard time too. The fact that Hook is apparently still like carrying on about Mila at this point, like literally when he had him up on the fence there, like I had practically all but forgotten about Hook and Hook and Mila, and I'm like, really, you can't let that go? Like I just felt like, dude,
well,
you've
Hook
done
let it go.
Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, I'm just so surprised that Rumple is still like not over the Mila thing yet. Like I was like, wow, I didn't realize that was still affecting him. I was surprised.
Yeah, well, he's clearly got a laundry list of things that make him angry. So from there, we see Gold and Emma meet at the mansion. Now, mind you, we still don't know who owns the mansion. And the interesting part is that was where he found the sorcerer's hat. So we're led to believe that the sorcerer would be there. But again, still haven't seen this sorcerer. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think that the apprentice is actually the sorcerer, or do you think there's a legit sorcerer?
I'm really starting to lean toward the apprentice being the sorcerer because I think that would be like a great disguise, hiding in plain sight, you know? That just, and I feel like that allows the apprentice, quote unquote, like the sorcerer, to talk to people, figure out their true intentions, and then sort of go back and decide what to do. It's really smart.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Karen said. Very much so. Absolutely.
I disagree completely. I think that
Give it to me,
there's a
Brittany.
sorcerer out there and that the sorcerer is the author of the book.
I like
Now,
it.
see,
Ooh, I
I
like
agree with
that.
that
I'm
too.
with you, Britt.
I think the sorcerer is, I do agree that the sorcerer is the author of the book, but I also think it's the guy we've seen. But I agree
Can't
with
be
you.
the guy we've seen because the page wouldn't have turned up in Robin's bag because that guy's in the hat.
He is in the hat.
Oh, good point. Okay.
Yeah, so that's
Unless
why I'm...
the book was acting on its own,
Right, unless the
which
book
could
really planned to
Why?
do
A
that.
book
I
that does
did
its
think of
own
that.
thing? Oh, man.
I did actually think of that, that there's some enchantment on that in some aspect. So,
Yeah, I did think that the book was acting on its own in this episode as well, but I do think that there is a sorcerer out there.
Well,
I
I
would.
also think that the book was tied to the library. I think that when they got it there is when that page appeared. Like, had it not been at the library, he may not have ever seen that page.
You know what?
Right,
That's
there's
a
that
really
possibility.
good point
Yeah.
because I
Magic is magical.
initially wrote off Will's rambling about, like, just saying library instead of saying like the history of the clock and the town and all this stuff. I was like, why are we taking like this back road to get to you saying library? But that makes a lot more sense that it needed to he needed to explain.
Right. Well, even going back to the first season, wasn't there some, like, what was living under the library? Wasn't that, like, kind of.
Maleficent.
Oh,
He
yeah.
took
Yeah. I mean.
the mine shaft down.
And that's what I thought he was getting at. I'm like, we're bringing back Maleficent. Did I miss something? Like, what's going on?
That's
Well,
what
and
I thought too.
a lot of big things have happened in and around that clock tower. I mean, over
So
the
it's the
past three
Enchanted
seasons.
Library is what you're getting at.
Well, no,
There
I
you
just
go.
think that there's some connection with the library and like the book, and there's like a central power to Storybrooke, and it exists in that library or in that building somewhere, because that's kind of where the epicenter is. It's like where everything kind of has centered on, and I for some reason I just think that's kind of the key to something.
Yeah, it would make sense. I mean, I don't know. I like the idea that the library is the epicenter of the magic and stuff. It's kind of cool to me, but I like books. So, I don't know. I agree though that so much has happened in the library. So, I guess we'll see as we move forward. Okay, can we just we're going to talk about the Robin stuff and the Regina stuff. And before Laura gets us completely off track, can we please just talk about Will and Robin and their bromance that they've got rocking right now. Can we please discuss
That
that?
was
I
great.
loved it.
Can we get a show with just them? That'd be awesome.
They're great.
Just
Michael
going out.
Sinchel, like, is so amazing. He's got, like, great chemistry with whoever. Like, oh my gosh. Like, talk about, like, underappreciated actor. I love him.
Robin Hood, of course. We know that. We're past
No,
that
no, no,
now.
no, Marvel with the
Uh-oh.
Knave. The Knave. Michael
Oh, the
Sarcho's
name.
the
Oh,
Knave.
Michael Sarcho. I didn't hear the name you said exactly. I was like, wait a minute. No, he is fantastic. I really enjoy him, and I need to see him with more characters.
Yes.
Instead of just being drunk all the time, because I'm a little concerned about his liver. But you know.
I want
So.
Red Riding Hood back. I mean, he's hanging out at Granny's enough. I want, like, Red back and him to, like, hang out with Red. I think the two of them would be cool together.
I think that would be dangerous.
Yeah.
For the whole world of fandom in general, that would be dangerous. All right, so we know that the Knave is still drinking away his sorrows, whatever they may be, because we still have no confirmation of what timeline this is for Well. Does anyone feel they have any clarity on this?
Well,
I was actually talking to a friend of mine tonight at work about the whole Will storyline thing, and we're more confused than ever. With that whole line about, like, I forget what it is. It's like loving the evil mistress. Like, it made us both think that he doesn't know that the Queen of Hearts is, like, that she isn't completely horrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that it's before the events of Wonderland because of that line. And for me, I took it the complete opposite and thought that that meant, like, he had kind of gotten up past all of that and that something had happened and he couldn't be with her anymore. And so he's here. Like, I still think it's in the the future, that it's past Wonderland. But my buddy at work thinks it's the complete opposite.
I agree with you, Kristen, because Robin asks him, like, what happened to her, and he sort of didn't answer, and it made me think that, yeah, something happened between Wonderland and this season of Once Upon a Time, and whatever happened, Will is still trying to deal with that, and I think that's why he's drinking so much and why he's kind of going nuts, and I really need an explanation. I really need to know what happened.
Yeah, because my only thing with his interactions with Robin, which this is getting, like, completely crazy timeline-wise, his interactions with Robin occur in a flashback in Wonderland. So what I was thinking is when he goes to Wonder, when the rabbit comes and gets him to go to Wonderland, it's during the first curse. So he was already in Storybrooke well before that. So Wonderland had to have happened during the first curse. So he's back from Wonderland. So I'm like, I'm with you, Kristen, that this is, he's back after Wonderland.
I don't understand. There's no other way they could possibly keep him within this storyline and make it work if he isn't back from Wonderland.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like, what's her name? Anastasia, like, broke his heart after their get together, and that's part of, you know, why he's, you know, boozy and depressed, because everything he went through, like, it wasn't the true love. But I think that also works for this show too, that is about finding your true love. So I feel like his story in the current universe can be all about, well, look at all that I went to because I thought it was for true love, and, you know, maybe it really wasn't. Like, I think that's kind of a possibility of his storyline, which could be cool.
Yeah.
It has so many possibilities with that. So I'm hoping that we get to know more about Will and what's really been going on with him. But the one thing he said that was curious was that he's been in this world a really long time. Like, that's what he said it to Robin more than once. So I don't know. It's weird. Very confusing.
Yeah. And he sent, now that I'm thinking about it, who were the characters?
Alice and Cyrus?
Yeah. Could not remember their names.
Just blocked it from your memory.
I did. They went to his apartment in Storybrooke.
Right.
Like, so he, well, like, obviously is well acquainted with Storybrooke and has been there for a while, but just
Well,
not...
I also feel like, as opposed to Robin, for whom this is kind of newer, like, yeah. I don't, yeah. I just took it like that. I don't think he would have really said that with anybody but Robin. It's just in comparison to Robin, he has been in Storybrooke a really long time.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I really just need to know. I need some clarification. Can we just get some clarification, please? Anyway, so Laura, I'm going to let this be your talking point. So go.
So I'm still feeling a little conflicted about the Robin and Regina thing, but I felt less conflicted because Robin and Regina feel conflicted about it. Like, I really loved the, you know, Regina goes off to, you know, see to Henry, and, you know, she's still, you know, ready to go, you know, take care of her son. And Snow's like, you might want to fix your blouse first, you know, which I just loved. But I really enjoyed the conversation that Regina had with Snow afterwards, because first of all, Regina and Snow having heart-to-hearts is just so, boy, have things changed over the course of the seasons. And I
seriously, that was one of my favorite, I'm sorry to interrupt, that was absolutely one of my favorite moments, is that whole Regina-Snow talk around Robin Hood. Because if Snow White is giving you permission to be friendly with a married man, then you know it's got to be okay on some level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do like that Regina was still feeling conflicted about it. And even, you know, the quote that I picked about, well, this can never happen again. I just feel like, and I think we discussed it last week on how, you know, he was pretty sure this was all over. And then the wife comes back out from dead. Like, how do you get around that? So I really enjoyed that aspect of it very much. I also really enjoy that Robin is so dedicated to showing her that everybody gets a second chance and life's opportunities are what you make of it. And I don't feel like anybody but him has kind of really articulated that as well. I mean, different people have said it, I think, in different seasons, but I really liked that very much. Like everything he was seeing in the library. Like, what did you guys feel about like that whole library scene and then him like running to Regina with the book to like prove to her that, you know, you are the, you know, nothing is predestined. You control your destiny and it's what path you choose to take and when you choose to take it.
I really like that part. I especially like the part that he actually stole the book to try and find her happy ending.
Yeah.
There was something kind of cute that he kind of went back to his old ways to make this work for her, because he's so adamant that, because she just thinks that she's bad. She has it in her mind that this is always going to be the way it's going to be. And so here's the curious thing though. Okay. So we know we have this picture, and this picture shows that they could have gotten together at the tavern, right? Now, if they got together at the tavern, everything after that point in time changes.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Emma doesn't come through the wardrobe. She doesn't try to take over Snow's castle. So
right.
Do we get to explore that storyline later?
Do you know what I mean? Please,
I would
no.
love.
No.
Love. I'm all about.
That's what fan fiction is for. There's some fanfic writer out there now just starting that. Yeah,
but
probably.
If you think about it, there's that idea. So if this one page can turn up that's different, that makes the book different, and it's the same page number and everything's the same except it's a different choice, what are the rest of the choices look like if they're different? And is there another book that these pages come out of? Is there like an alternate world that, you know, this would be the page that would be in that book and not this one?
No, I didn't really take it as that there's like an AU somewhere.
No, but do you know what I mean?
But I did think it was like very clear is that there are, I'm going to go like Doctor Who here on everybody for a second, because I feel like that's something in Doctor Who that's come up, that there are certain point, like fixed points in time that like determine how the life or your universe are going to go. There are some very monumental things that happen. And sometimes a choice can be a very monumental choice because it affects so many different things. And I feel like that's what this was all about, was your free will and your choice and what you choose to do and how it is going to – you affect your destiny. Nothing else affects your destiny. You either believing in yourself or not believing in yourself and making those choices is what kind of creates your tomorrow. And I felt like that was what was being explored with it. You know, I mean, I guess how I felt about it, too, is like obviously we're not living in a fairy tale, but like there were like really big choices that I think a lot of people make. Like just off the top of my head, I was just thinking like where you like go to college, or if you go to college, like that's probably like a really huge, like life changing fact for a lot of people. It determines who you meet, what paths you go down, or like if you move or you start a new job, like those are things that really set your life on different trajectories. So I feel like something like that too, of just taking a risk to do something, I feel like that's something a lot of people can relate to, and I feel like that's what they were trying to go for.
Well, I also feel like that page, I mean, and they use it in the show, they say like this is hope, like hope is what you need, but just the idea that page existed, just the idea, like, whether or not she could have chosen, you know, to enter the bar that night, the tavern that night, and meet him, the fact that that page exists physically is enough hope for her to know that the drawer of this book does not have it out for her.
Yeah.
It literally is her choices and her decision to not enter. That's the only reason that she didn't get her happy ending. And so she is ultimately in control. It's not this random author, you know, inking her villainous tendencies, right, and making her do all this stuff. She is the one deciding that that this is hopeless.
Right.
And so it's... now seeing that, she has a, you know, a whole new lease on life. Like, I can choose better.
Yeah, it's not like there's a puppet master and he's going, wah-ha-ha, I'm going to see what I'm going to do to you guys today. Like, it's totally not like that. I completely agree.
And that's what she's been going on and on about the last couple weeks. She felt like somebody was keeping her from her happily ever after.
Yeah, but I also really want them to still look for the author. Like, I don't want this to derail.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no,
I still
want
to know. I want to know who the author is. But,
yes.
Yeah.
And then just on a side note, because I do just have to be obnoxious about it, I just adore the way Robin looks at Regina. Every time he looks at her, I just kind of melt. I just totally adore it. I don't know if anybody else has that same reaction as I do, but I just adore the way he looks at her constantly.
After these last few episodes, I feel the same way, which is weird because it's not that I disliked Regina and Robin, but they never really did anything for me. I wasn't super excited about them. I like a lot of other pairings a lot more. But, I think it's the confidence that Robin has in Regina and how good of a person she can be just really gets to me, because she's definitely become one of my favorite characters, and I really believe she can one day be the hero that she wants to be and have the happy ending. The fact that Robin is just so easily confident in that is just, it's really romantic and sweet and amazing to watch that on screen.
Yeah, it's that, I think it's exactly what you say, Karen. It's that he looks at her like he believes in her and like is pulling for her and rooting for her, and he loves her. But it's not like he's constantly looking for her, like he wants to like throw her up against the wall. It's like he just constantly looks at her like, I believe in you, I'm in love with you. And I think that makes a very big difference. So I'll get off my little like outlaw queen soapbox now, because I know like you should probably take over the discussion again, Jen.
You were very well behaved. I'm pretty impressed with that. All right, so let's get to this ugly ending where Gold, oh, Gold. So we know that Hook has a confrontation with Gold, and the really horrible, truly bad part are the two things that Gold needs for his separation from the dagger to be complete. Number one, he needs basically Emma's magic in the hat. And number two, he needs someone's heart who knew him before he was the Dark One. And unfortunately, the only person available for that sort of loveliness is Hook. So he takes Hook's heart and basically makes Hook his puppet.
Right.
I have so many fears for Hook. It's like it's really unhealthy.
Because it's kind of
cute tears.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of basically exactly what Regina was doing, like, with the sheriff, like, back, like, in the first season, more or less, right?
Oh, my God. Like, I had flashbacks to that, and I started getting, like, a panic attack. I was like, no, not Hook.
But, like, seriously. And Rumpel was, like, evil when he said, you know, this is going to be fun, or, you know, he was like, now you're going to be my puppet. And that whole, I was like, oh, no, Hook, what have you done?
I mean, I don't want to advocate murder, but I seriously want Belle to kill him with the dagger.
Yes. Like, immediately. Before any of these other bad things can happen, I'm
yeah,
not.
And
I'm
his
totally
heart, his yeah. heart was so bright and red and happy and not dark.
Oh, Brittany!
No,
I was so happy, too.
I also have to say, just for somebody who doesn't always feel the Hook love, I mean, I appreciate the character, but I really, really did appreciate him this time. I also like that they finally got him out of the pirate clothes again this episode. Like, I was happy he was wearing, like, street clothes again in leather, but they were, it wasn't the whole, like, piratey getup. I appreciated that.
Yeah, so that was bad thing number one that happened. And then we have, we see one last flashback of Ingrid, and Ingrid basically gets her happy ending. The Sorcerer's Apprentice comes to her and says, you know, this is the one time the Sorcerer would make a deal. You give me the hat, and I'll assure you that you get your happy ending. And here's a doorway. It'll take you to the place that you need to be in order to find your final sister. And right. You'll get the one that's in the urn back. And so she walks through the door, and she's in New York City.
In 1992 is the year.
82.
Was that? 82. 82. Okay.
I was really, really hoping for recap sake it was 1989 so I could pull out a Taylor Swift lyric. And I couldn't make it happen, guys. Once Upon a Time was not my friend.
No, that's unfortunate. Could have made that happen. So that's where we're kind of left. So we know that she gets to New York in her Snow Queen finery in the middle of wherever, and it's not looking great.
And no one looked weird at all, which I love.
No, it's like New Enchanted. York, they just like pop totally up out of the sewer, and they're
right,
like, hey.
Right, it's all good. So there was that. So we have Hook in peril. We know the Snow Queen made it to New York in 1982.
Which kind of debunks everything I said last week, yeah, which I was really dead set on about her making up Emma's memories, but I think she really was her foster mom now. My mind
I think she
flipped.
Was too.
Which is just creepy. Yeah. But I don't think it's also cryptically how it was put, is this is what it will take you to need to find your sisters. Like, maybe Emma is going to help her find the real sister. I mean, maybe you can put back together the pieces of the shattered ice cube. I don't know.
No, I don't believe you can, because we get to our next point, which is Ingrid basically puts her ribbon on and then manages to send the remaining two ribbons to Elsa and Emma.
Right.
They have ribbons on, they notice them, and they can't get them off.
Right.
Now the Snow Queen has the power equivalent to Rumple, if not greater than. Now my question is, because she's wearing the ribbon, she is the power of the others. Does that mean the others have the power of her?
You would
think.
Does
it work like in a perfect like symmetry that way?
I would think so.
It would.
No, but I don't think they know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. It'll take them a while to figure out how that works, but yeah. I mean, I think eventually they will figure that out, and that's probably how they will break this whole thing. But yeah, I agree. Like right now, they don't know like how it operates in order to do it.
What would be super fun is if they can get the yellow ribbon off Ingrid and give it to Regina. That would be fun. I would like to see that. They would take down Ingrid and Gold in one fell swoop. It'd be amazing. Anyway, I'm totally down with Rumple getting taken out in this business. He created this mess. There has to be a consequence.
I think I'm done with Rumple at this point. I had a little bit of hope, and then it was just crushed in this episode because I think maybe they've been doing this on purpose right from the beginning, because, you know, we had Regina and we had Rumple and they were evil, and then we saw that they had humanity and we were like, oh, okay, they're actual people, they're not just villains. And they kind of had this parallel storyline where they had this person, or maybe several people, that they really cared about, and that made them a better person. But now we've got Regina going in one direction where that's actually working, and she is trying really hard to be a hero, and we have Rumple going the other direction. And I honestly don't know if he can come back from this. I mean, he's flip-flopped a lot in the last two-ish seasons, and I had hope that he would make the right decision, but now I think I just want him gone. I just don't care anymore. It's getting really frustrating.
Yeah,
the
as much
thing
as
that sealed that for me was him not having any regard for Emma and Henry. Like, taking, like, being willing to take Emma's power and, you know, send her to the hat, and not caring at all what that would do to Henry and all of the other people, like her parents, that really just, yeah, I'm done too. I don't care what happens to Gold anymore, because, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no coming back.
Right. I agree. Like, I just feel like he's crossed such a line. Like, he totally has crossed just such a line. Like, I don't feel like there's anybody Hook wouldn't walk over destroy. Like, I even feel like Belle and Henry, if push came to shove, he would, I'm not so sure, like, he would not stop at doing anything to hurt them. Like, I feel like there's nothing he wouldn't do at this point.
That's what sort of really drew my attention, was the way that he regarded Belle. When Rumple was just like, yeah, I'm lying to this person that I love, that is now my wife, that I lied to, and he just has no regard for her actual feelings, and he keeps up that lie, even though he knows Belle is the kind of person who would help him through this and would understand why he's doing a lot of this and would try to talk him out of it. He doesn't care anymore. And yeah. It's so hard to watch it, because I really love Belle a lot, and I think she's way, way too good for Rumple.
Yeah, I just felt like he was treating her like a possession, like, or just some other item in his collection. And I was like, and I don't feel like up until this episode, I ever really felt like that's how he regarded her before, but I absolutely got that vibe this episode.
Yeah, I also definitely think it's really telling that she's absent. Like, she didn't show, and that worries me. Like, just the fact that we're not seeing Belle and she's not around to see him doing any of this, or, you know, she, that has me really, really worried for her future and their future, like the two of them. It made me a little more wary of what side Rumple really is on. Like, we all know he's always on his own side, but, like, as far as if he's redeemable or not, that was telling for me.
Total crack theory. What if Belle ends up pregnant?
Ugh.
Oh, why?
I'm just saying, that may be, like, the total crack theory of where this goes. Like, would he change for anything? I'm just wondering. I mean, they are married now, so, you know. Who knows?
No, that would not be okay. After how horrendous he's been, no, that does not make him redeemable.
I'm just saying, I wonder if they go down that path. I would really be curious.
I really hope not. Anyway, so we see the whole showdown with Gold and Ingrid, where she basically says, I'm more powerful than you, so take a step back, big guy. Which I kind of liked. I'm not going to lie. As much as I think Ingrid is kind of Looney Tunes, I liked it when she was selling off Rumple. I was not opposed to that in any way.
Me neither.
And then she basically starts to release the spell of Shattered Sight. Is that what you got? That's what I got out of it. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but
yeah,
that's what I got.
It might take a while for it to take effect, but it was, yes, it was certainly, it was certainly being released, or that was the immediate intention, yes.
I would just like to know if we could ever have a spell cast without the smoke monster. Just once. Like, can we get, like, a spell that is smokeless? It's environmental friendly that way. I'm just saying.
At this point, smog. It would be really weird, I think, if it wasn't a smoke monster. I'd be like, is this a real spell? Is this legitimate? Because clearly,
are you sure?
There was no smoke.
Yeah,
are you sure? There's but no you know smoke what to we indicate. Have to. Did you guess that right?
Yeah, do you know what we have to endure soon? We're going to have to hear Leroy yelling that something's approaching town.
Oh, God, yes.
So get ready.
How I'd forgotten. The town crier at his finest.
I hope he runs along the streets just screaming, smoke monster, smoke monster.
Yeah.
It's oh, coming. Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, the good times of Leroy. All right. So let's talk. We have, what, two episodes left before the midwinter finale? More than that? Less than that?
Yeah,
I always mess it up.
It goes to December.
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, because there's not an episode this Sunday,
right? There's not an episode this Sunday.
Because they said coming in 2 weeks. So does that mean November 30th is the next episode? Or does it mean
November 30th is the next episode.
Okay.
whichever episode it may be, 9 or 10. I'm not sure how they're classifying them.
Because they put two together.
Yeah, because they put two together. But we still have... We go until December 14th. So we have,
three episodes. All right. So in these three episodes, kids, let's make some predictions. Because there's a whole lot that could go very wrong. So how do we feel about Hook's fate? What percentage survival do we give him at this point?
I mean, I'm going to give him 100% survival.
Same here. Same
yeah,
here.
I don't think they kill him off. I think they're going to torture him, but I don't think they're going to kill him off.
Okay.
I think
I was a little worried.
I think he's elemental to Emma's happy ending. Like, it might not necessarily be that clear cut, but I feel like at this point you can't rip him away from the series completely. Like, you can't say, nope, he's dead, sorry. Like, that's, maybe they think he's dead at some point. Like, something happens and he's no longer there and they all believe that he died. I could see that, but he cannot just die and be gone. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that just wishful thinking, ladies? Because I feel like it might be a tad bit wishful thinking. As much as I love Hook, I think it would be a detriment to the show, but shows have done stranger things, so I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. All right, so what do we think about Rumpel? What's going to happen with him?
He needs to go, but he's going to be around.
Is he going to be completely discovered, though? Do you think it'll finally get out to everyone about what he's doing?
I hope so. I hope Belle finds out, if anyone. I don't care if the whole town finds out. If Belle finds out, then it's all over.
Yeah, because their relationship, I feel like, is just really dangerous, and I don't really want to see it anymore, because you guys are right, like, he's treating her like possession, he doesn't care about her feelings, he's lying to keep up this face that he has, and she's sort of just going along with it, and she's, you know, as a character by herself, she's a very independent, intelligent woman, and I feel like we're not seeing that side of her enough, and I really want to see her step out of his shadow and be like, look, you know, what you're doing is not cool, and we have to change this, or you have to go, or whatever. I find it kind of weird that they just got married, and, you know, maybe she's going to be like, I want a divorce, but I don't know. I think we need to see Belle take a step forward and confront Rumpel.
Well, depending on where they are truly taking Rumpel's story from here, like whether he is completely, I mean, I know we've all kind of given up on him, but if they truly want him to be irredeemable and to show that he's the opposite of Regina, I predict, I don't know if it's going to be mid-season finale or later, that Belle is going to die at his hand.
Oh.
And because the only way to prove that he's completely irredeemable is that the one person who's always believed that he could come back around is no longer there, and it's his own fault and his own choice. I don't think anything could bring him back around if Belle is no longer present.
Yeah, but I also thought that with Neil, when Neil was dying.
Yeah, like, I was just so surprised. Like, to me, I was like, that was his wake-up call, and I was just like, wow, and it really wasn't. And in a sense, Neil had even really kind of given up on him, had been like, I have tried everything for my father. He doesn't care about me enough. Yeah, I'm conflicted.
I agree with you, Kristen, because I absolutely feel like Belle is his last anchor, and she's slowly slipping away, or he's slowly moving away from her. And if he's the one to kill her, he has nothing left. And I think for a very long time, it was this balance between Neil and Belle. And they were the two people that kind of kept him in check. And when Neil finally accepted him and was like, okay, I understand, you know, what happened. I understand that you're trying. I'm still not totally happy with you, but it is what it is. And then he died. Rumpel snapped, but I don't think he's... I mean, I think he's irredeemable at this point. I don't think he's totally gone yet. But if he were to kill Belle, I think he would revert right back to the Rumpel that we knew in season one, or at least, like, in the flashbacks.
Yeah, he would almost have to become, like, the one with the gold shimmery skin again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, completely become the dark one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where they're taking him, you know, because you've got the, you know, you've got Regina and her, you know, redemption tour. Like, she's, you know, working on being a better person. I don't think you can necessarily do that for every villain in the storybook, you know, storybook universe. Like, it some people, their stories don't end happily. And so I have a feeling that that may be where Rumpel's story is heading.
Mm.
And I'd much rather it be Rumpel than Regina, who got that unhappy
yeah,
ending.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The other thought I had is, if they're going to make him the Dark One again, what if they somehow, because they've introduced the idea of him being able to be separated from the dagger. Now, we don't know what that really means, if he gets to keep the magic if he separates from the dagger, or if he just gets to go back to being, you know, Rumpelstiltskin before all of the other stuff happened. What if the end game for the end of the season, if he reverts to being the Dark One, that everyone has to find a way to try and separate him from the dagger in general, rather than kill him, the option is to save him completely?
I think with this spell that he's working on, he would get to keep his powers, because he's always said he will choose power over everything else. And I don't
True.
I think that he would keep the dagger and the power that the dagger has over him if that meant he would lose his powers without it. So I really think that this whole thing, especially he's collecting all this power in the hat,
right.
Somehow he's going to be able to keep that.
Yeah, I kind of get that. All right, so any thoughts on who the sorcerer might be? It's kind of the one remaining mystery we haven't really talked about.
Assuming it's not the previous guy, I feel like it's somebody we've never met before.
I agree.
I want it to be somebody we've met and just had no idea that they had this, like, amazing connection to everything. Because I love when Once Upon a Time does that.
Is it?
It's the Dalmatian.
Okay.
It's the Dalmatian. It's the dog. The
He's
dog
an
is doing it all. It's an animagus.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. There was one, like, brief, like, hot second that I thought maybe Will put the page in the book. But I don't know. Not in the book, but in Robin's bag, because Will's a thief. Will can steal anything.
True.
And the page was folded. Do you know what I mean? So there's, I don't know. It would be cool if it was somehow connected to Will. But that's just a random way out there kind of thing.
Hmm. And my heart always wants to see August again. I love August, and I miss him a lot. So somehow, some way, I would love it if there was a method to see him again with the book. I don't know, but that's, you know, I know how hard that would be.
Yeah, only if his film career bombs is what will happen there. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like ever seeing Sheriff Graham ever again, now that he's about to be the most famous, you know, naked man in the world. So.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, we'll never see the Mad Hatter again either, because he'd be the Winter Soldier. Just throwing it out there.
Right.
He may be still Marvel awesome. For 9 movies or something. So
still so mad about that.
I know. Yeah. Damn you, Marvel. Although it's all related. It's all connected to Disney, man. Can't they loan him out for like a hot episode? Come on.
I think they could. They could totally do that.
I think so,
I mean,
too.
Chris Messina ran from Newsroom to Mindy Project for a hot second. We can make this work.
Exactly. So, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.